So this is what it says in Ephesians 3. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's just pray and then we can begin. Again, I'm reminded, Lord, of the prayer that I often pray at the start of a sermon, that you might open our ears, Lord, to hear from you, that you might open our eyes to be able to see you. Lord God, would you open our hearts to let you in? We don't want to be a closed book, because we might miss something of your gift, something of your grace and something of your love. So would you open us up today to be able to hear something of you in what is said? And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we are starting a new element of our prayer sermon series, and you'll see from the title that we're talking about strengthening our inner being, and this kind of falls in to a new category of prayer, if you like, that we're looking at, that we might want to call devotional prayer. And you may ask, what does that mean? And I might say to you, in simple terms, devotional prayer is it's prayer that is related to our own spiritual growth. It's related to our own continued renewal. It's prayer that emphasizes growing closer to God. It's prayer that focuses on worship. It's prayer that asks the Holy Spirit to help us love and experience God more and more. It's prayer that helps us become, if you like, better followers of Jesus in terms of devotion, in terms of worship, obedience, relationship with our triune God, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Brother Lawrence said this wonderful thing, there is not a kind of life more sweet and delightful than that of continual conversation with God. That's a little bit of the kind of heart of devotional prayer. I thank you for your quote from Walter Wink. That was a beautiful quotation. We're talking about something ever so slightly different here. We're talking about God growing us. So actually our intercessory prayers become ever more powerful, ever more effective. If we don't build our lives around a prayer and worship that roots us in Christ Jesus, you know, a prayer that allows us to grow in intimacy with God through divine connection, if, you know, connecting at heart level, connecting with affection and thanksgiving and willingness to worshipfully obey, if we don't pray daily in that type of way, I think we're in danger of missing out on something God's got for us. I don't know about you, I don't want to miss out on any blessing that God's got for us. And so devotional prayer is a part of the way that God blesses us. And we don't want to miss out, do we? No, we don't, Tim. Thank you very much. Al Gordon and Tim Hughes tell a beautiful story in their Worship Central course. There was a group of UK's elite special forces, the SAS, and they were fighting behind enemy lines, and they were interviewed by a journalist who said, can you describe in just one word what kind of relationship that you have with one another? And after much thought, this group of elite special forces, SAS guys, came back, and they came back with this word, the word intimacy. Perhaps not the first word you would associate with the SAS, but these men who daily entrusted their lives to one another, who shared their deepest fears, saw one another in the most pressurized of conditions, knew what it was to experience intimacy, This isn't about romantic notions. This isn't about romantic notions of God. True intimacy, true intimacy is raw, and it's honest, and it's passionate, and it's powerful. And we engage in deep level stuff. And we do that when we stop pretending, when we allow God full access to everything that we are, when we choose to take down the barriers and let God in. And devotional prayer leads to this type of Christianity. God blesses us with his promises, but I want to say to you today that God also wants to bless us with his presence. You see, promises without presence are meaningless. God wants to bless us with his promises and with his presence today and every day and always. And we can do that when we can know God and experience God in that way. We can have that type of Christianity. We can have that type of connection with God when we allow God in. When we are open and willing to seek God in prayer and in worship. Oh, that makes me excited. That's the kind of follower of Jesus I want to be. What about you? Good question to go away and ask. Is that the type of following of Jesus that I desire? Or is it going to be something else, something less than that? In our reading today, we come across an apostolic prayer, and we are going to focus just on the first part. This sermon series isn't really a kind of exegetical sermon series. It's really kind of grabbing principles of prayer and kind of expanding on them. And in that first part of our reading today, Paul prays that the people in Ephesus, that church, might know and be strengthened in their inner being with power through Christ's Spirit, the Spirit of God. And we're going to concentrate on that bit, that inner being bit today. I think our title, what did I put as the title? I can't remember. Here we are, Strengthening Our Inner Being. Who would have known? And that's what we're going to be looking at really today. Strengthening in the inner being is made possible because Christ dwells in our hearts. He dwells in those who have chosen and who have believed in him. That's why I kept on asking you today. I've asked three or four times, haven't I? What does it mean for Christ to dwell in you? What does it mean for you to be a temple of the living God? What does Paul mean by that term, inner being? It's a word that, if we were using theological language, that Paul uses occasionally to talk about the unregenerative person or the regenerative person. We're not going to get into that today, but we're going to say simply, we're going to define it a little simpler than that. We're talking about their inner being, we're talking about our spiritual side. We're talking about the part that makes up one's mind, one's emotions, one's will. In other words, it's the bit that makes you, you. That's what we're talking about today. The bit that you think, that's me, I'm Tim. That's the inner being, that's you. That's what we're talking about today. And it's strengthened. The inner you is strengthened when Christ dwells in our hearts. And the word that Paul uses for dwelling place, it means actually taking up permanent residence. And Christ hasn't chosen to come and take up temporary residence in you. He's not glamping. He's not doing posh camping. He's not, this isn't a hotel. You're not a hotel. He's not come for a little visit and he's going to check out by 10 o'clock the next day. Christ has chosen, for those who have chosen to believe and accept Christ as Lord, chosen to take permanent residence in your life. That's the language of here. It's the language of permanency. God intends for us to be made stronger, for our roots in Christ to go deeper, for love to increase, for knowledge and insight to expand, for the power of God to be displayed more fully in us and through us, for our sense of fulfillment and fullness in God to grow, for the accomplishment of the kingdom reality in our world, in our communities, in our workplaces, in our family, all this and more, because Christ dwells in us and works through us. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? I can see that some of you might be vaguely excited by that. And that is brilliant. Come with me, because this is exciting stuff. I was at a conference in January called Fresh Streams. Jim's talked about it. He talked about it with great passion. He had a lovely time. And I had a lovely time at this conference as well. It was good to worship with others who were hungry and desperate for a fresh and filling of the Holy Spirit so they could go back and minister to their churches. And there was different times when I was overwhelmed, really, by the sense of God in me and around me. At one point, I have to say, it all seemed a little bit too much. I couldn't worship anymore. I couldn't pray anymore. I couldn't sense God's presence anymore. I was at my limit. I was at capacity. I was like, Lord, you've either got to stop or you've got to increase my capacity for prayer and worship and your presence in my life. I wonder whether we need to start praying those kind of prayers. Lord, I want more of you in my life, but when I reach my max, could you increase my capacity? Because I promise you this, that God has got more for you than you've already currently experienced. There's more of God in your life, working through you and for you and in you than you've currently experienced. I wonder if we would be brave enough, if we were going to be wholehearted and open, taking down the barriers, going for true intimacy with God, would we be brave enough? Would you increase my capacity for you, Lord, in my life? I love going to the gym. You can clearly tell that I love going to the gym. It's fairly obvious, isn't it? And, you know, I don't want to boast or anything, but... okay. And when I haven't been for a while, I actually really notice that I decrease in strength and I decrease in fitness. And when I get back to working out at the gym, physical strength and physical fitness, it generally improves slowly. As you know, some of you might know, I've been a little unwell. I'm still not quite right at the moment. And I went to the gym this week and I nearly killed myself doing it. I was really, oh man, I'm not very strong at the moment. I'm not very fit at the moment. Just as our physical strength can increase or decrease, I think so our experience of spiritual strength can do the same. We might not always discern a specific moment when the Spirit strengthens us, though we might do as well. But it usually happens in small measures, like the changes you will notice over time if you exercise and you eat well. It will change your life. You might not notice straight away, but slowly it will. If we ask regularly of God, of His Holy Spirit, to release power in our inner being, in our minds, emotion, and our will, over time we will experience newfound strength. That's what this scripture we read today is promising us. This divine strengthening equips us to live in a godly way. Being strengthened in Jesus is the lifeline, I think, that enables us to sustain our ministry, our calling, what God's called us to be as followers of Jesus, to win the lost, to heal the sick, to do works of justice and compassion, to be people that worship in spirit and in truth. We will experience more of God's grace that renews our minds and our emotions if we ask for it on a regular basis, if we exercise. And that's actually what we're going to do. I'm going to actually stop preaching, but I'm going to do something else. It's going to be kind of like preaching, but it's also going to be kind of like praying. And for the next 10 minutes, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through a way of praying that you guys can go and do on your own that might help you strengthen your inner being. In your service sheets, you would have found that there was, some of you hopefully, a little white bit of paper. And whenever I do something that's not classic preaching, it doesn't always go particularly well. So hopefully this will go well. Let me explain what we're going to do, and let me explain what you have in your service sheets. I don't know if there's any extras or not, but that's just something for you to take away. This is a prayer list from Mike Bickle's book, Growing in Prayer. What is a prayer list, Tim? Prayer list is very simply you writing down things you want to pray about, and then praying through the things that you've written down. Okay, that's what a prayer list is. You can be as creative as possible. The one we're using today is an acronym of the word fellowship. Essentially, though, this is a way that you can go away and pray. You can start with F and then you can just go off and do your own thing. The prayer list is just a way for us to get into the method and mode of praying. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to go through, say a little bit about the principle of each letter, and maybe read a little word, just a word of scripture that kind of just reveals that same principle, then I'm going to pray. And this is really just an excuse for me to be able to pray for you. And we're calling it a sermon. Crazy. So is that all right? So we're going to just go through this acronym slowly, and then I'm going to pray for you. And it's 10 little prayers that I get to pray over you. And we're just inviting God to strengthen our inner being corporately. And you can go away and do it individually. So the first one is F. And F equals fear of God. In Psalm 86, it says this: "Teach me your way, Lord, that I might rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." The word fear is a bit of a loaded word, and it can, when fear of God can be misunderstood as something that perhaps we relate to just kind of common fear. But the fear of God is talked about in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, and when we pray for God to put his fear in us, it's not that we are frightened of God in the sense that God is an abusive partner or someone who's out to get us. It's more about us being aware of who God is. We're asking for the Holy Spirit, if you like, to unite our hearts with God in such a way that we have that it causes a great sense of awe in us. God is awesome in the truest sense of the word. We often use the word awesome, don't we? We say, "Oh, I love your new shoes, they are awesome." Now, we are not describing God in the same way as a pair of new shoes. Have you checked out my new iPhone? It's awesome. No, we mean awesome in the truest sense of the word. Awesome as in falling to your knees in fear and trembling, tears and wonder, unable to comprehend the glory of God because God is too big. That's what we mean by fear of God. Are you with me with that? So let's pray. Let me pray for you, and I'm praying for me as well, that God might teach us to fear him in the right way. Father God, would you teach us to righteously fear you, right fear of you, not fear you so that we are intimidated or fearing abuse from you, but fear your majesty and your glory. Would you fill us with an understanding of the difference, please, so that we might live in awe before you. Would you release your presence in us that we might tremble before your glorious majesty? Would you unite our hearts to your heart and your word? And would you cause us to delight in the fear of God? Amen. Amen. So that's what we're going to do. Is that okay? That's bearable, isn't it? We can do that, can't we? So E stands for endurance. In Colossians 1, it's not proof text, it's just giving you a glimpse, if you like, of the principles that you will find in Scripture if you look after these things. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, Colossians 1. In the New Testament, the words endurance and patience and perseverance, they often kind of interchange in terms of meaning. So this is really about being faithful in doing what God has called you to do, who God has called you to be. Holy Spirit empowered endurance it enables us to seek and serve God in the ways that God has asked us to seek and serve him. It gives us strength to stop ourselves from falling apart and falling away. That's what endurance, in terms of scriptural endurance, means. Endurance is being faithful to God despite your circumstances. It's being faithful despite actually the distractions that you might find in life. It's easy to get distracted by good things as well as difficult things. And we're going to pray for endurance to carry on being faithful to God's calling in our lives. So shall we pray again? Well, I'm going to, so that's that. Heavenly Father, would you strengthen our hearts with endurance, that we may faithfully do your will and never draw back from pursuing, going deeper with you and into your will and your way for us as both individuals and as a community that calls itself St. Andrew Street Baptist Church. Would you direct our lives, Lord, into the kind of patient endurance in which Jesus walked? Would you give us strength to follow through in our commitments to you and to fulfill the tasks that you have graciously given us in partnership with you. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. L equals love. Jesus replied in Matthew 22 to the scribe, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself." Matthew 22. God's desire for us, I think, is to establish that first commandment in first place in our lives. So that we might love Jesus with all our hearts, with all our strength. There's so much written about love in Scripture. When the Bible repeats itself, I think it's worth paying attention. So as we encounter God through prayer and worship, the outworking of that is us having lives that are defined by the principle of love. Isn't that a wonderful thing to... I might even say that again. Wouldn't it be great for us all to have lives that are, because of the way we pray and because of the way we worship, that are defined solely by the principle of love, that God is love, that God loves us, that we are called to love others. Let's pray. Father, pour out your love in our hearts and our lives by the Holy Spirit, that we might overflow in love back to you and to others. Father, put your love for Jesus into our lives. Give us grace to love you, Lord, with all our hearts, souls, minds, strength. Would you allow us the ability to abide in the love of Jesus? And would you allow us and grant us how to understand how you perceive us as dearly beloved children? Amen. Amen. But L also equals light of glory. You know, there's some wonderful stories in Scripture regarding revelation of God's glory. In fact, the whole of Scripture is about revelation, actually. It's about God revealing who God is. It's most closely seen in Jesus as the fulfillment of the prophetic story and the Israel story. It's most closely seen as Jesus as the promise of all ages to come. But all of Scripture is about revelation. And there's some wonderful little bits, like when Moses asked for God to reveal his glory in Exodus 33, and having done so, afterwards his face shone. For some of those disciples at the Transfiguration, when they got to see kind of Jesus just reveal a little bit of his glory. Paul's encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, where the light of the glory of Jesus shone, stopping him from being able to see until he was healed from that. It's about the light of God's countenance upon our lives that leaves us breathless for more of God. In Acts 2, when the Spirit was poured out, and Peter preached his famous sermon, taking a bit from Joel. He said, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." That's what life looks like when the glory of God is shining on us and through us. Let me pray something really brave. Some of you might be uncomfortable with this, but just go with it. You never know what might happen. Father God, let us see the light of your glory. And would you give us supernatural encounters with you, Lord? Whether they be dreams, visions, visitations, manifestations of your glory and your light, even as you gave to those in Scripture. Lord God, we say publicly in this place that we desire more of you, not less. And so would you reveal the light of your glory in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Look at that. We are flying through this. I might go a bit quicker. One thing I've desired, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. I wonder what would happen if God was so complete in our frame of reference. God was such the one thing in all that we do in life. And rather than we invite God into some of the stuff that we do, that everything we do, every conversation, when we go to work, all of our decision making is based around the fact that God is our one focus, that Jesus is following Jesus is our one desire. I wonder how much life would change for us if, instead of inviting Jesus into what we were doing, we framed everything around the fact that we are focused on Jesus. I don't do it. So I'm not saying I know how to do it, but I just wonder how empowered the people of God would be if we got this one thing right. So I'm going to pray for that right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we commit to live as people of one thing. Would you help us to sit regularly at your feet to behold your beauty, as David did, as Mary of Bethany did, when she sat at your feet to listen to you. When we lose our focus on you, would you please get our attention back really quickly? Lord, would you heal us of having divided hearts, and would you give us an undivided heart? In Jesus' name, amen. W, worthy. Worthy is about walking in the reality of who we are made to be in Christ. You know, we were once sinners, but apparently now we're saints. In Christ, you have been made worthy. You are not unworthy, you are worthy. We don't need to earn that because Christ has done it for us. We just need to live in the reality of that. That's what it means to be worthy, to live in the reality of what God is doing in you. Don't become less than because you are made worthy. Don't be less than because you are children of God. Don't be less than what God has made you to be, distracted by things, because you are beloved of God. Do you know what I'm saying? So live worthy and ask God to help you live worthy. Let's pray about that. Lord God, please strengthen in our hearts so that we can walk in a measure of faith and obedience that is worthy of who you are and your calling upon our lives. Help us to escape a compromised way of living. Prepare us to walk in the highest things you have called us to. Amen. Amen. Speech. Speech is a significant area in our spiritual lives. When what comes out of your mouth, what comes out of your mouth comes under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, then the rest of us follow suit. We are often defined by what comes out of this big hole in our face. There are lots of scriptures about this, but and lots of ways for you to be challenged by this. But let me just use this one from Ephesians 4. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Actually, Psalm 141 says this: set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Shall we pray about this really important area? Loving Heavenly Father, would you set a guard over our mouths? And please let us speak only in ways that are pleasing to you. Would you free us from defensive, angry, foolish, foul, or selfish speech? And would you keep us, Lord, from quenching your spirit with our words? And would you set our hearts not to sin with speech, so that we may sustain closeness and communion with you? Amen. Amen. Nearly there, folks, nearly there. Are you coping?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We're nearly there. Okay, humility. Jesus says in Matthew 11, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus calls us to learn from him, his ways, his pattern for life, his approach to life. Jesus knew what challenges we face in understanding humility. So Jesus expects us to come to Jesus to learn from him about this vital subject. In Philippians 2, it talks about having the mind of Christ, and it goes into a beautiful song and poem about how Jesus stripped off glory in order to become a servant for us. That's having the mind of Christ. So let's pray for the mind of Christ for us now. Jesus, dear Lord Jesus, would you teach us how to walk in the yoke of your humility and lowliness? We set our hearts to learn humility of heart from you, to be of your mind about humility. Lord, through humility before you and others, would you transform our attitudes? Would you transform our speech and actions? Would you give us wisdom about how to carry our hearts in humility? Amen. Two to go. Insight. A couple of scriptures here, just to kind of put in that principle of God with us, really, and teaching us, God who teaches us. John 14, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. John 16, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. I've already said it, haven't I, that God is in the business of revelation. The Holy Spirit wants to teach us all things. The Lord wants us to have wisdom and discernment, and he wants that to increase in us so that we might be fruitful in every endeavour that God sets us and God calls us to. And when God sets us a task, remember, God sets us a task in partnership. God doesn't say, go off and do that thing on your own, I'll be over here. God says, come and be partners with me in this thing that I want you to do that I'm already doing over here. The insight that God gives us is intended to lead us and teach us how to walk in agreement with God's heart so that we can enjoy deep friendship and partnership with him. So let's pray for that insight into our lives. Father God, would you give us insight into your word, your will, and your ways? Would you give us wisdom about how to walk in intimacy with you in every area of our lives, including finances, lifestyle, emotions, circumstances, health, diet, relationships, our futures, fears, addictions, all things? Let us know your will and your way, your thinking and your feeling about us, your desire for this worshipping community as well. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And lastly, P for peace and joy. I've added and joy on it. It needs and joy. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4. I really believe in a world that is sometimes very chaotic, very difficult. At times I suffer from real anxiety about things, and that's something I work through. In spite of all of what's going on, all the chaos and all the stuff that just gets poured into us and all the pressures that we feel, I think it's God's good intention to guard our hearts and our minds with peace. And it is God's peace. It's all that makes for a person's good. It means wholeness. It means rightness with God, rightness with each other, rightness with our environment. This is the peace of God. Shalom is God's ultimate promise for all of creation, that we might know peace. And it's our inheritance as children of God to live in peace. We do not have to live our lives. We do not have to live our lives troubled by rejection or jealousy, anxiety and fear. We don't have to live those kind of lives. We don't have to live in minds that are filled with confusion and turmoil and indecision. If we regularly ask God for peace and joy in specific areas of our lives, then I think we should expect to receive peace and joy in specific areas of our lives. So let me finally pray. In a minute, Jeff's going to come. Oh, Paul, bless him, is going to come and lead us in our last hymn. But let me pray this prayer to lead us into that wonderful moment. Heavenly Father, strengthen our hearts with supernatural peace in areas where we feel a lack of peace. Would your goodness, love and mercy overwhelm us? And would peace flood into all areas of our lives and into all areas of your church, this church, St. Andrew Street Baptist Church. In Jesus' name, amen.